This is VOA News. We are remote. I'm Lynn Kelton. The United States, the European Union, Britain, and Canada have joined forces to impose sanctions on several officials in Belarus. The sanctions coming over the forced diversion of a Ryanair flight to Minsk last month. They also targeted a number of officials and organizations over last year's contested presidential elections and the security crackdown that followed. The EU has ramped up sanctions since President Alexander Lukashenko won a sixth term last August in elections it says were fraudulent. On Monday, it imposed asset freezes and travel bans on 78 Belarus officials and eight organizations. EU foreign ministers also worked on a raft of sanctions aimed at Belarus's economy. Every adult in India is now eligible for a free vaccine paid for by the federal government. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
A changed role for the federal government kicks in this week, ending a complex system of buying and distributing vaccines that overburdened each state and created inequalities in who got the shots. Earlier states and the private sector had to procure jabs themselves and provide them to younger adults. Now the federal government is providing 75% of all vaccines directly for manufacturers and giving them to the states for free. The remaining 25% will be purchased by the private sector. The switch comes as coronavirus cases across the vast nation continue to drop. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Hong Kong pro-democracy newspaper Apple Daily says its board of directors has asked authorities to unfreeze some assets so that it can pay salaries. It says its board will meet again on Friday to decide if the newspaper will cease operations. This is VOA News. Iran's president-elect says he's not willing to meet with U.S. President Joe Biden or negotiate over Tehran's ballistic missile program and its support for regional militias. Ibrahim Raisi stuck to his hardline position on key issues at his first news conference Monday after winning the presidency in a landslide last week. The United States is trying to resurrect Tehran's 2015 nuclear deal with world powers. The U.S. had hoped to eventually negotiate a stronger deal that addresses America's other concerns about Tehran. Meanwhile, top diplomats report progress at talks Sunday in Vienna as they try to restore the accord, which was abandoned by the Trump administration. Ethiopians are voting Monday in a landmark election. The election overshadowed by reports of famine in the country's war-hit Tigray region and beset by logistical problems that means some people won't be able to vote until September. The election is the centerpiece of a reform drive by Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. His rise to power in 2018 seemed to signal a break with decades of authoritarian rule and led to his Nobel Peace Prize the following year. He has described the poll as the nation's first attempt at free and fair elections. Abiy's ruling Prosperity Party is widely expected to cement its hold on power. Claudette is over the U.S.'s Carolinas and back at tropical storm status less than 2 days after 13 people died. Weather is being blamed for 8 children dying in a multiple vehicle crash in the U.S. state of Alabama. AP correspondent Julie Walker reports.
National Hurricane Center specialist Brad Reinhart says Claudette is moving offshore later today, but not before leaving what could be more destruction in its path, including a possible tornado in the Outer Banks.
Look for some, you know, gusty winds in portions of, you know, far eastern North Carolina over the next several hours, possibly an additional 1 to 2 inches of rain. As well as a, you know, possibly a tornado.
He says the wind forecast is 40 miles per hour with heavier gusts. Over the weekend, Claudette caused several tornadoes in Alabama that destroyed homes. It also dumped up to 15 inches of rain in parts of the state, causing flash flooding, as well as that deadly crash involving those children. I'm Julie Walker.
The Tokyo Olympics organizers have decided to allow a limited number of spectators into venues holding Olympic events. Monday's decision to cap the number of spectators to 10,000 people comes just days after health experts told the government that banning all spectators was the least risky option. Via remote, I'm Liz Pelka, VOA News.